diagnosed for breakfast. You got to get to a place where you're just unbothered diagnosed. To the top, just put the sack on the clock. I am Rihanna's a
shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Podcast, coming at you once again. As always, I appreciate you guys listening and watching and checking me out, spending a few minutes of your day with me. Don't forget to subscribe and like and share and all that good stuff with your family. Check out the website, sportsandthereal.tv. I told you guys that, you know, I'm a sports fan, you're a sports fan, but we're not just going to talk about sports on this podcast. If you follow me, you're going to be a great, you're going to be a sports fan. You're going to be a knowledgeable sports fan, but you're also going to make money if you follow me. Not because I know anything, but because the people I bring on know a lot. You're going to be in perfect health. you're going to live to 100 years old with a lot of money in the bank and all that. But seriously, though, the point of the podcast is to help my community grow. Not just as sports fans, but as people. To that end, today's guest is phenomenal. I'm excited for the conversation. I think this is personal to me, so I'm excited to have the conversation. So today's guest, I'm going to introduce her real quick. Kirsten Allen. Kirsten Allen is an award-winning sales and marketing leader who has contributed millions of dollars to Fortune 500 tech companies throughout her career. Damn. She leverages that experience and knowledge to coach experts on landing more corporate contracts using a simple client attraction system. Her clients have landed contracts with household names like Louis Vuitton, Louis V, and several nonprofit organizations. In addition, she serves as a certified international coach, international trainer to corporate clients across various industries. Essentially, she's like that. She has the intel. She has the connection. She knows how to make connections. She knows how you can get connections and basically leverage those connections to get some of those millions that she's helped everybody else make. So after this podcast, you will be a millionaire. That's the promise. Kirsten, welcome to the show. Appreciate you being on.
Hey, Mike, that was an amazing introduction. Thank you. And I'm excited to be here with your audience and to talk, like you said, how to make money and live your best life. And so I'm excited for the conversation too.
Yeah, we're all about making money. I'm all about making money, and more money the better. So
yeah.
Before we jump in, right? So I mentioned that you help small businesses make contracts with corporate clients. So I'm gonna spew out a couple stats here real quick. So first of all, I was in the small business game for a while. So my journey, I went from corporate 9 years to entrepreneurship a few years. That didn't work out. And now I'm back to corporate. So I've been on both ends of this conversation, the small business trying to reach out to corporate clients and the corporate client who small businesses are reaching out to. And I'm going to tell you this, neither side is really that fun. So I'm interested to hear what you have to talk about. So according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics, about 20% of new businesses fail in their first 2 years. 45% fail within 5 years. 65% fail within 10 years. Only 25% of new businesses survive 15 years or more. That means you got a lot of uphill fighting to do to survive 15 years. And if you start in your 30s, your 40s, for this thing to carry you into retirement, hopefully, that's a lot. And the stats are stacked against you. So hopefully this conversation will help those who want to go into business, those who are already business owners, to, hey, this is what you got to do. This is the tactics, strategies you put in place to help you get there. So let's jump into the conversation. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to add something to what you said. Even if you're not someone who's like, hey, I want to jump full into business, this is still an important topic for you because it's important to diversify either way. Even if you are not, you know, diving in, you have that 9-to-5, that doesn't mean that that's going to ride you all the way to retirement either. And so this conversation can also be for those people who recognize they have a talent that they can be monetizing on the side as they're working their 9 to 5. So that opportunity is there too.
Well, that's good to hear then.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Were you always entrepreneur or were you corporate? Like, what's your backstory?
Yeah. So I started off in corporate. Now, when you say, was I always entrepreneurial? It made me think back to my childhood because then I was the girl who, you know, sold candy in school and, you know, had the lemonade stands and figured snacks, all the things, figured out how to just make money in unconventional ways. You know, you're supposed to be going to school to learn. I was in school to also make me a little coins on the side.
Ooh,
so
that's a word right there, but go ahead.
Yeah. So that spirit was always in me. But as many of us, we grow up, we see the adults around us and, you know, go to college. And now it's get this great job so you can live the American dream and all the things. And so I started off my career, as we mentioned, in the corporate world. So I had the opportunity to work for a Fortune 500 right after college in an amazing program where I learned the skills that I took into entrepreneurship, which we'll get to. And once I was creeping up on year 4, it was right when the pandemic hit. I had my newborn son and I just started thinking of where I saw my life and going back to, like I said, the little girl who had all these aspirations to do these things. And I always felt like it was a part of my DNA, but I had kind of shut that off to go into the real world. And at that time, we're all home. It's plenty of time to think and just to reconnect to who you are. And so through that, I saw, like, wait a minute, I'm going way further than I truly desired for my life and my own personal fulfillment, really out of fear, because I didn't feel prepared to step out on my own in entrepreneurship. And so at that time, I didn't fully step out. I ended up switching careers to another tech company, but allowed me to be able to stay home with my son. That was the key thing at that time. And work my business on endeavors while I was working the 9 to 5. And so I made that shift to start to build my life in the way that I saw it. And as of the time that we're recording, I fully shifted out into entrepreneurship less than a month ago. So this is still very fresh, but I understand what you said about your story too, just the shift of coming from that world and then deciding that you're going to bet on yourself in business. And also knowing the juggle between the two, which is why I wanted to point out even those people who feel like, oh, I'm not ready to step out yet. I was in that place and I was still doing opportunities with corporations and running my business too.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because, listen, even if you're working from home is great and it allows you flexibility and all that. But even, I guess depending on the company, even working from home, you literally have very little time. So if I use myself as an example, and I'll do that throughout the podcast, I mean, I work from home, but it's not like, you know, it's like specifically 9 to 5 and I'm done, right? It's stuff you're supposed to, you know, essentially when you're working corporate, you could work forever and never be done.
Yes. Right?
So then you have to time box yourself, but then you get off and, you know, you got kids. Then you got, you know, like the challenges of even stepping out on your own is tough. So I guess question for you, how did you manage that? Like you had a newborn and listen, I got 5 kids. So I know what having a newborn does to your time and as a woman, your emotions and breastfeeding and all that comes with a newborn. So you're trying to juggle all that while trying to start a business and working a 9 to 5. That's freaking superhero stuff. How'd you manage that?
Woo. When I look back, I have to ask myself that same question. But a lot of it was just the drive that I had to build something, not only for myself, but for my legacy and for my son, too. I think a lot of what started my whole entrepreneurship journey was I got tired of seeing people that were brilliant and feeling tied to these jobs that they hated. And for whatever reason, that stuck with me when I was younger. And I'm like, why are they doing this? Like, I don't want to be like this. And so that those thoughts, like I said, would come back to my mind. And I'm like, I feel like I'm kind of going down that same path that I said I didn't want to. We got to run this back. And so
you're speaking to me, man. Dang.
Yes. And so the management part of it was difficult. And I will be honest, I had some valleys. Like you and I talked about just the anxiety challenges that I've had and just going through the postpartum phases. It was a pandemic, so I didn't have a baby in the regular times. I had a baby in October of 2020. It was like literally a couple of weeks before I had my son was when they finally said that you could have your partner in the room with you. Like it was like thick pandemic. So my whole entire experience was a lot of stress. And so even going into after having him, I still kind of had some of those anxieties like, oh, I don't want to take them different places. And so I had to also work through the personal challenges. And through having my husband and my family supporting me, I was able to still get the things done that made the most sense for the time. So I didn't do every single thing right. I don't want to be here thinking, you know, this was all rainbows. But through the grace of God, that's what we're going to say, because that's the truth. I was able to make it through. And just kind of whatever I could do for that day to move the needle forward and to make sure my son was good and that my responsibilities were taken care of. I just had to take it day by day. And at that time, I wasn't seeing like massive, you know, growth in the business. It was all really seeds being planted to get to the point now where I could shift out. So my business started in 2021 and I just shifted out this year. So it was a 3-year journey.
I promise y'all we'll get to her expertise and everything. But I feel like my story in this is like, I see myself previously when I left corporate after 9 years, like I was so tired of it. So I think it's good on you that you were able to identify that you didn't want to do it no more. And you started to your transition process. Like I got to a point where I was just fed up and I quit like cold blooded. I had the idea for the longest time, but I quit cold blooded and, you know, my wife wasn't too happy. She still throws it in my face every now and then. Like it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
But getting to the point where you find yourself not liking corporate and not liking, which I was a late bloomer in the entrepreneurial game. Like I didn't have the entrepreneur spirit. Like my family was everybody's working, nobody's an entrepreneur, right? Now me and my younger sister and even my older sister now have, you know, are taking that leap.
Nice.
But before we didn't know anybody who was really doing it like that as an entrepreneur. We didn't come from that kind of area, right? That kind of environment.
Right.
So it was school, you know, job, and that was it. So I didn't get the entrepreneurial bug until later. And then I realized, man, I don't like this 9-to-5 stuff, somebody controlling your life, controlling your money. That ain't cool. And then, you know, I started thinking about ways to move out. I sat on it for a couple of years. And then eventually after 9 years, I was like, I'm done. And I quit. And it wasn't great. So that's my story. And this kind of conversation is going to be helpful to me and hopefully to my to my audience as well.
Yes.
Now to your experience, right? And your knowledge is where I lacked and why I feel like, honestly, I didn't succeed my first go around in entrepreneurship is the ability to get corporate contracts. So I did this thing, and you're going to have to speak on this because I emailed corporations. I emailed them and got very few responses, never really got anywhere. And like that's one of the biggest hurdles in this thing. I feel like when you're dealing with these corporations, you're having to go through a lot. Like you're emailing somebody, and I hope you speak on this when you're a simple solution. But you're emailing somebody, you don't know if they're gonna get the email. You may get hit by a spam filter. Who knows? They may only do RFP, so you can't contact anyone directly. Like there's all types of hurdles for a small business trying to get in the door. So the first question from me as, you know, someone who was and wants to in the future get back into the entrepreneurial game, like, how do you even get in the door to that.
Absolutely. So, first of all, kudos to you for
For
sending
sending
the
the
email.
email.
Some people don't even do that,
It
right?
was
Some people
rough.
say,
It hurt my feelings, man. Like nobody responded. It's tough.
yeah, it is. And so, you know what? The first thing, Mike, is really the
The
mindset
mindset
shift
shift.
because there
There
are
are
opportunities
opportunities
all
all
around
around
us.
us.
And the
The more,
more,
what
what
I
I
tell
tell
people
people
is
is
like,
like,
first
first
things
things
first,
first,
you
you
have
have
to
to
know
know
your
your
value
value
and
and
be
be
clear
clear
on
on
what
what
it
it
is
is
that
that
you
you
bring
bring
to
to
the
the
table
table
and
and
understand.
understand.
Because
Because
this
this
might
might
be
be
something
something
that
that
other
other
people
people
may
may
be
be
thinking
thinking
as
as
well.
well.
I
I
hear
hear
it
it
a
a
lot.
lot.
Oh,
Oh,
I'm
I'm
just
just
a
a
small
small
business.
business.
I'm
I'm
too
too
small
small
to
to
work
work
with
with
these
these
corporations.
corporations.
You
You
know,
know,
how
how
am
am
I
I
gonna?
gonna?
They're
They're
not,
not,
they
they
don't
don't
need
need
what
what
I
I
have
have
to
to
offer.
offer.
They
They
already
already
got
got
it
it
all
all
set
set
up.
up.
It's
It's
true.
true.
Could
Could
not
not
be
be
further
further
from
from
the
the
truth.
truth.
They
They
need
need
you.
you.
And
And
so
so
there
there
is
is
actually
actually
statistics.
statistics.
I
I
love
love
how
how
you
you
brought
brought
one
one
up
up
to
to
talk
talk
about
about
it
it
about
about
the
the
value
value
of
of
small
small
business
business
vendors
vendors
to
to
corporations.
corporations.
The
The
main
main
things
things
that
that
you
you
can
can
add,
add,
no
no
matter
matter
what
what
you
you
do
do
as
as
from
from
a
a
skill
skill
set
set
perspective,
perspective,
is
is
they
they
like
like
working
working
with
with
small
small
businesses
businesses
because
because
we
we
have
have
more
more
innovation.
innovation.
We
We
can
can
do
do
things
things
a
a
lot
lot
quicker
quicker
than
than
what
what
they
they
could
could
do
do
in
in
their
their
established
established
organization,
organization,
where
where
it's
it's
a
a
lot
lot
of
of
red
red
tape
tape
to
to
get
get
anything
anything
done
done
and
and
anything
anything
changed.
changed. True,
And
true.
so they'd rather work with you
You
to
to
get
get
something
something
done
done
on
on
a
a
project
project
basis
basis
or
or
again
again
on
on
a
a
contract
contract
basis,
basis,
then
then
switch
switch
their
their
whole
whole
business
business
up
up
to
to
try
try
to
to
address
address
a
a
need.
need.
So
So
that's
that's
your
your
value,
value,
like
like
that's
that's
your
your
juice.
juice.
Again,
Again,
we
we
haven't
haven't
even
even
got
got
into
into
your
your
expertise,
expertise,
but
but
that's
that's
why
why
they
they
want
want
to
to
work
work
with
with
you.
you.
And
And
so
so
when
when
you
you
know
know
that,
that,
you
you
have
have
a
a
whole
whole
different
different
mindset
mindset
because
because
it's
it's
not
not
little
little
you,
you,
big
big
them.
them.
It's
It's
I'm
I'm
an
an
expert.
expert.
They
They
need
need
me.
me.
And
And
not
not
only
only
that,
that,
y'all,
y'all,
they
they
have
have
budgets
budgets
that
that
is
is
assigned
assigned
for
for
you
you
for
for
small
small
businesses.
businesses.
For
For
small
small
businesses.
businesses.
These
These
companies
companies
have
have
commitments.
commitments.
Yes,
Yes,
absolutely.
absolutely.
And
And
we
we
don't
don't
need
need
even.
even.
I
I
want
want
to
to
hear
hear
this.
this.
Go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
And so a lot of these companies are committed to doing work with small businesses and for those who fall into diverse communities or affinity groups, those groups as well. Because, number one, like I said, the agility, the ability to do things quickly. But also, as these companies are looking to work with government organizations, they have to show that they do a certain percentage of contract awards with small businesses. So we really got to know our value in this game to where it's not just nice to have, it's not you. Oh, can you? I would love for you to work with me. No, you are the expert. They have what you need to offer, they have money set aside. These are like forecasted plans that these companies do to say, we're going to do X, Y, and Z percentage with small businesses. Now,
Now,
what the
what the
gap
gap
is
is
and
and
why
why
I
I
do
do
this
this
work
work
is
is
because
because
then
then
they
they
say,
say,
well,
well,
we
we
set
set
aside
aside
this
this
money
money
for
for
these
these
small
small
businesses,
businesses,
but
but
we
we
don't
don't
have
have
anyone
anyone
qualified
qualified
to
to
do
do
the
the
things
things
that
that
we
we
need
need
to
to
do.
do.
And
Right.
so
So
now
now
more
more
of
of
us
us
need
need
to
to
show
show
up
up
and
and
be
be
prepared
prepared
and
and
know
know
our
our
value
value
to
to
capitalize
capitalize
on
on
the
the
money
money
that
that
they've
they've
already
already
set
set
aside.
aside.
So
So
it's
it's
can
can
I
I
interrupt
interrupt
you
you
real
real
quick?
quick?
Remember
Remember
when
when
I
I
was
was
sending
sending
out
out
these
these
emails
emails
and
and
filling
filling
out
out
these
these
people's
people's
portals
portals
and
and
everything
everything
like
like
that?
that?
They
They
were
were
asking
asking
like,
like,
what's
what's
your
your
annual
annual
revenue?
revenue?
And
And
you
you
know,
know,
I'm
I'm
like,
like,
man,
man,
I
I
just
just
started.
started.
I
I
got
got
$0
$0
right
right
now.
now.
What
What
are
are
you
you
talking
talking
about?
about?
Like,
Like,
they asked a lot of questions. And now that I'm in from the corporate perspective, like, I get these emails. And I'm honest with you, a lot of them I don't even read. And from people reaching out on LinkedIn and all these things, but I know the bigger businesses, the one of the hurdles for the smaller businesses is the requirements, at least from my perspective, and I would like you to speak on this, right? Because
Yep.
at least the company I work for, right, when you submit like any kind of documentation, right, they have to have their lawyers review it. So I'm assuming the small business is gonna need a lawyer, right? Do you have the right technology in place? Like all these things are hurdles, I feel like, for the small business. And I don't want to discourage anybody. In fact, I want to encourage you. But having gone through it, I feel like it's tough. Like, so I know you're saying there's money set out there. I know you're saying the bigger businesses, the corporations want to work with you. Being having been on both sides, I feel like there's a lot of hurdles that can get in the way and really be discouraging.
Yeah,
So
so let's
let's
talk
talk
about
about
the
the
annual
annual
revenue
revenue
part.
part.
Some, now,
Now,
you
you
have
have
a
a
good
good
point
point
in
in
terms
terms
of
of
the
the
type
type
of
of
contracts
contracts
you're
you're
going
going
after
after
and
and
the
the
size
size
of
of
it.
it.
You
You
do,
do,
you
you
might
might
need
need
to
to
have
have
certain
certain
infrastructure
infrastructure
or
or
things
things
in
in
place,
place,
or
or
even
even
establish
establish
partnerships.
partnerships.
That's the
That's the
even
even
better
better
strategy.
strategy.
Whatever
Whatever
you
you
lack,
lack,
you need to get in a community or space where there are other people who have the support so you all can go at it together and be able to deliver a great value to the client. So that's one thing. But a lot of times those annual revenue things, don't let that scare you off, because what they might be trying to do is actually make sure you qualify as a small business, meaning that your company brings in less than $25 million. I think sometimes it's $34 million. And so they want to make sure that you go into that bucket of funds. And so I've seen that too. And that has, you know, been a thought of people like, oh, well, do I have to make a certain amount of money? No, you don't. I actually have a client right now. Her very first sale in business ever was a contract with the university. And so it was an opportunity to do her initial, like an initial engagement. They're going to continue to build. But she didn't have to show anything, you know, related to the revenue in her business, because it would have been zero too. But even if she did, I think a lot of times that stipulation is to understand that piece. Now, if you're going after something that's very robust and they're looking for a company that has previous experience doing said work, then that may not be the opportunity for you, but that doesn't mean corporate contracts, government, or universities, like I just gave that example, isn't an avenue for you either. You've got to start somewhere to be able to grow to that level where you can do some of these like multi-million dollar contracts that require, again, you to possibly team with other people so that you can be able to go after it.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that, to be honest with you. How does someone with literally no, I mean, you have experience, but you don't have the connections, or you don't have the business experience. Your business doesn't have experience. So as a person, you worked in corporate, you have experience. I'd like to hear that. So before we jump into your solution and recommendation and things, all of that, right? Is this targeted towards small business wanting to like contracts, or is it like people trying to work with brands, like social media brands? Like, is it both? Either, like.
Yeah. So there's two ways in going about it. And the only difference is who you're going to be connecting with. So right now we're really talking about doing work in terms of consulting, training, speaking. You know, if you do digital marketing services or bookkeeping or whatever that is, we're talking about service-based. But if you're looking to do more of like influencer work, there is the opportunity to do that as well. But that's more of a marketing play versus, you know, directly with some of these organizations that would be hiring speakers or wanting you to come in as an expert. And so two different ways of coming about it, but both are still lucrative opportunities with these organizations.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's jump into it. When I talk on my podcast, I'm like, I want to talk, you know, the real, right? I want to give people, hey, these are the actual tactics you can use to do XYZ, right?
Yep.
So I'd like to jump into that. So we'll do a case study here. I'm new business, you know, Mike's lawn mowing service.
Right? Okay.
I'm gonna mow lawns for Fortune 500 companies nearby, right? At their corporate office. Walk me through the process. How do I get a contract with these people?
Yes, absolutely. I love that you gave that example, because I said service-based, but also things like that, janitorial services, pest control, all companies need all of that type of thing, just like, you know, at a home. So that's a great example. All right. So the first thing that you're going to want to decide is, okay, what organizations are you going to work with? Let's get a name. Let's have a list of these are the organizations that I'm targeting. It's important to be very clear on that, and the list can continue to grow. Then from there, you need to know the contact person. So to me, the person that you will want to be reaching out to is likely in facilities management or something related to decisions made on that particular activity. So I wouldn't reach out to somebody in human resources in this case. So very clear.
How do I find that person? What's the best way you would say you would find that person?
Yep. So I love to use LinkedIn. And I know some people are not, you know, on there really, or maybe you're on there for work, not on there for business, but it's a great place to be able to find who those people are. It doesn't have to be like you need to reach out to them and send them those cold, you know, spammy messages on there, but it's great for intel, if anything. And so you can easily be able to find, so you start with those lists of companies, go to those companies, and then there is a people tab on that company. And so then you could type in facilities management or just the word facilities and see all the people that come up who have that title. And then you can look through their profile, make sure it still sounds like this is the person who would be over whatever it is I do, lawn, landscaping, lawn care in this case, and you would directly reach out to them. And so you mentioned sending the emails. That is a great way if you are trying to do volume. And so when I tell people you have kind of choices of how you're going to reach out, if you do email, you're going to have to do it at volume because responses could take some time to be able to get. And then, as you mentioned, you could get some ghosting. And so if you want to get traction, you got to amp up the activity. And so I've seen people be able to get calls booked with decision makers like same day because they sent out 25 emails, like they already had a schedule. And so it's like, if you want to go that route, you really got to be hitting on it and following that list, like I mentioned, and just knocking them all down. Now, alternatively, you could go to this company, depending on if it's just a local, you know, company versus like some large Google or something like that. If it's a local company, perhaps you could go in, say it's a bank. You could go in and talk to someone and ask.
I did that. And I'm going to tell you, it's not the greatest experience. I don't I'm not a great salesman at all. So face to face trying to sell somebody, it's tough for me. So I guess I kind of hid behind the computer, right, and sending emails. So if you're going to go in front of somebody, I guess you got to be comfortable in that environment.
That's tough. Yeah. And you got to find what is your best way of doing it. And that's what I tell people too. I have many different options, but I'm not going to tell you anything that you're not going to be able to commit to or do. Right. And so I really do that listening to figure out, okay, this person is a strong speaker. They already got, you know, opportunities to talk in different places. So all I need to do is give you a strategy where you can go and speak and, you know, people will be running towards you. And so you have to also know what's your best way of communication, because emailing can be great. In person can be great, but it will fall flat if it's not aligned with who you are, for sure. For me at the time, doing emails or LinkedIn messages worked for me a lot because, again, I had a son, so I wasn't going out everywhere and doing all the things. So I had to figure out how I could connect with people that way. And I will tell you my little secret or way that I get people to respond is because I invite them to have a conversation. And so this is like a slight nuance, but this will change the game. If you are like already doing outreach and maybe you're not getting anywhere with it, I would be like 99% sure if I looked at your email, I'd be like, this is why they didn't respond. Because most people send emails that are all about them and what they do and here's how much it is and here's, you know, all the things that you can get. And they're sitting on the other end like, one, this isn't me, or two, I don't know you, and or it just never even got to them.
I didn't do that. I didn't try to sell at first pitch.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. I've seen, you know, the emails that come to me and I'm like, if this was, you know, if this is how people are doing it, this is why they aren't getting responses. But my way is to send like a very short email to just say, again, it's got to get to the right person, which is why we started with the LinkedIn, or there's another site called Apollo.io that allows you to find the contact information. Yeah, that's a good one that allows you to find contact information. I do, because I know a lot of people may have heard of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. That's a good tool.
LinkedIn Sales Navigator, never heard of that.
Yeah. So I would start with regular LinkedIn, though, because you can be able to accomplish what you need to understand, you know, who the decision makers are just on LinkedIn with doing what I shared. Go to the company page, type in no keywords of who your decision makers would be, type it in, boom, that's your person. And so with the emails, short and sweet, to have a conversation about them, to learn about the priorities, to learn about who they're currently, you know, working with to do said lawn care services in this example, so that now it's an open door for a conversation versus a sale. Because I'm sure you've heard the saying before, no one likes to be sold to.
Yeah.
And so what you want to sell them on is not you, but sell them on a conversation to talk more about them. Because once they start spilling all the juice, I'll give you an example. I actually just had a call. So on my side of business, outside of coaching, I do my own contracts myself. And so one particular contract I was looking at doing was a cleaning contract, and I was going to outsource it to another company. And so when I talked with the lady on the phone, she was telling me everything. And I was just like, well, hey, I just wanted to learn a little bit more about, you know, what you guys are looking to get cleaned and, you know, what was your experience? She told me everything. She was like, well, the service that we have right now, we're just not getting the clean smell that we used to. And so we're looking to, you know, get somebody that can just get it smelling clean in here. And here's what we spent last year. And here's like all the information. And so by the end of the conversation, I'm set up to now put myself, my hat in the ring, because I have the intel that
right.
I just, you know, just had a regular conversation with her versus going in and saying, well, here's everything that I could do. So I found for me, even when I was in corporate sales, my way of going about it was always to be a listener, was always to be more interested in them than what I could do for them first. And that has led goodwill to my experiences in sales.
Okay. Excellent. Point taken. So we've identified the person we want to talk to on LinkedIn or Apollo.io or LinkedIn Sales Navigator, but we're going to start with LinkedIn.
Yes.
We've reached out. Let's have a conversation.
Yep.
All right. This person agrees to a conversation. Now, I'm assuming this is virtual conversation, right? Unless you're going to their office.
Yep.
Virtual conversation. You're listening and all that. Cool. Boom. Conversation over. What now?
So here's the thing. Conversation not over yet.
Okay.
So
conversation not over.
No. One thing, you want to make sure you say, hey, I just want 15, 20 minutes of your time, because these people are busy. So you want to be able to give them no reason to not want to take a quick conversation. You know, you do introduce yourself and say, you know, a short one or two sentence, here's what I do to capture their attention. And then again, focus it on them, invite them to that short conversation. They get on the call. You need to have this call very structured and planned out before you just hop on there and say, oh, hey, what's up? No. You're going to get on there and you're going to capture a few key things. First of all, you need to understand what the need is. So you're going to be asking them questions. In this case, with the lawn care, who do you currently have? Because they are working with somebody. What's been your experience? You know, are there any things that you feel could be better about this? So you're really trying to uncover, is there a need here, right? Is there something that can be solved by working with you or something that you can position? And so once you've heard that, okay, you know, they've gotten a few issues or pricing is a little challenging for them. So they're looking to get something that's a little more affordable. Okay. So then the next thing is timeline. When are you currently preparing for an RFP to do this? And this is more of like asking about the process too, or is this something that you are looking to get vendors to start sending qualifications? Like just understanding, are they looking to move on that need now, or is it something down the line? Because that's a key thing to understand on that call to determine how further are you going to go with this? Because if they're like, hey, it's just something, but maybe in a couple, like we're with them for the next 2 years. So, you know, it's nothing that we can do until then. So then your mental note is, okay, good. I'm going to keep you in mind, but I'm going to move on to the next because I'm not waiting 2 years for you.
Right.
So that timeline is important. And then the last piece that you're going to want to understand is budget. And so especially, you know, thinking about if they had a past person in place, this is going to be very easy for you to ask. The last awarded contract that you did with your current vendor, what was that at? Is that something that you are, is that the budget you're expecting to do if you brought someone else in new? And just kind of understanding it, because the last thing you want to do is get off that call or have a second conversation and your services start at $20,000 and they say, we can only budget 10. Again, moving on. And so as you are starting this process, you want to start off being very efficient and how you gather information and manage your time. Because again, if you're doing this at volume to get yourself booked out or to get as many opportunities that you desire, every call, you want to make sure you're capturing that information and not wasting your time or getting ghosted or sending proposals that they never respond to. That's a waste of time.
Can we back up for a quick second? Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
The timeline thing, right? If somebody says, hey, let's, you know, it's probably going to be a couple months, right? 2 years, whatever, that's extreme. We're not going to mess with them, but a couple months. So obviously you'll make a note and then you'll follow up, right? How do you follow up? Any advice on how you follow up without being annoying? I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I get annoyed when I get too many emails from some of these people. Like, dang, man, like, what do you want to do? How do you follow up without being annoying or feeling annoying? And maybe it's okay to be annoying. Maybe I'm just looking at it wrong, right? Maybe I should be, I'm gonna annoy the hell out of you until you take my call.
So here's the thing. Two ways to look at it. I'm going to give you two so you can choose. Number one, when you're on the call, you establish what the follow-up will be and when it is. And so it's very clear, okay, 2 months. So I'm going to put something on my calendar, and we'll get to this too when we're talking about like the next steps. We're going to put something on the calendar now to be able to discuss this then, to circle back with you. So it's very clear I'm going to be following up with you. The second thing is, yes, you got to have a little bit of, you got to get after it. And I think that it doesn't have to be, I'm going to share some ways to make this more authentic, but it doesn't have to be like, hey,
Yeah,
let's
that's what
start
it
working
is.
together. And, all these, it doesn't have to be thirsty, right? It just
Well,
is, I want to remain top of mind. We had a great conversation. You seemed as though that you were, wanting to move forward. And people actually appreciate you following up. I know you said with people, it kind of can be annoying if there's no interest. But if I've shown interest in someone, I appreciate them circling back with me because I know how busy I get and I was interested in moving forward with them. And so I've had people be like, I appreciate you keeping in touch with me and reaching out to me because, all these things have happened and I really want to be able to get this set up. So people do appreciate it when they've shown interest. And when you send out those emails, you want to just be very upfront. Hey, again, we talked about this on this date. I know that you wanted to circle back in a couple of months. And so now I wanted to continue the discussion we had and see how we can move this opportunity. Well, you wouldn't say opportunity, how we can move our partnership forward.
I
Something.
would have. So don't say opportunity.
Because you don't want to use you don't want to use our sales, our business words. You want
Man, I was
to.
doing it all wrong.
No. Not all wrong.
Definitely use the word opportunity. So, okay, good. Don't use the word opportunity, y'all. Partnership.
Partnership. Partnership.
Excellent, excellent. Cool. All right. So we figured out the need, the experience, the timeline, the budget.
So after you have gotten timeline, budget, and then the last piece, wait, need, timeline, budget, then if everything is aligned, so you've got check marks in every area, like you said, they're not looking to move forward in 2 years, like this is something in the near future. There is a need for, a new person to come in and do this. And then budget-wise, it sounds like this is something that can work. Okay. So then our next step is, all right, depending upon what their process looks like, you want to get a clear next step on how to move forward. Do you need to see a proposal from me? Is there an RFP coming out soon that I need to be aware of and, kind of in front of that? What is the next step? And so a good question to ask is, okay, this sounds like, Mike, this sounds like a great opportunity for us to partner together.
Opportunity, there you go. Look at you. See? Look at you.
This is a great opportunity for us to partner together.
Okay. You combined it. Okay. It's an opportunity to partner. I got you.
Yes, a great opportunity for us to partner together, and I would love for us to begin a relationship. And so, what would a next step look like for us? And then let them talk. So again, they could say, well, we want to see your pricing, or we want to be able to see, a map of what you can do, or you have this RFP coming out, this month, whatever the case may be. And you want to lead that call with a clear next step. All right. So, Mike, based upon what you said, it sounds like, or what you stated to me was that you would need to see a proposal from here. So, what I'm going to do in the next, whatever time it takes, 1 to 3 days, I'm going to prepare that proposal. But what I would actually like to do, Mike, rather than just sending it over to you via email, I would like us to schedule another time That way, I can walk you
walk
through
you through
each
each
element
element
of
of this,
this, answer
answer
your
your questions
questions live,
live,
and
and
make
make
sure
sure
that
that
you're
you're
fully
fully
supported
supported
as
as
you're
you're
reviewing
reviewing
it.
it.
So
So
I'm
I'm
going
going
to
to
pull
pull
up
up
my
my
calendar
calendar
now,
now,
and
and
let's
let's
go
go
ahead
ahead
and
and
schedule
schedule
that
that
time
time
to
to
review
review
the
the
proposal.
proposal.
Wow,
Wow,
that
that
sounds
sounds
amazing.
amazing.
Okay.
Okay.
How about let's do November the 3rd.
Okay, awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and put that in
Now.
now. Send you
Send
the
you the
calendar
calendar
invite,
invite,
and
and
then
then
we'll
we'll
have
have
that
that
time
time
on
on
the
the
calendar.
calendar.
In
In
the
the
meantime,
meantime,
if
if
you
you
have
have
any
any
questions
questions
or
or
additional
additional
thoughts
thoughts
that
that
we
we
didn't
didn't
talk
talk
about,
about,
feel
feel
free
free
to
to
reach
reach
out
out
to
to
me.
me.
Otherwise,
Otherwise,
we'll
we'll
have
have
that
that
conversation
conversation
on
on
the
the
3rd.
third.
Wow, excellent. Now, so here's a question. Between now and October 3rd, do you reach out at all? Would you reach out at all?
So the only thing that I would do is close to
Close to
that
that
time.
time.
I would,
Would
like
like
the
the
week
week
of,
of,
since
since
that's
that's
like
like
a
a
month,
month,
like
like
the
the
week
week
of,
of,
I
I
would
would
confirm
confirm
that
that
they're
they're
going
going
to
to
still
still
show
show
up
up
on
on
the
the
call.
call.
'Cause
Because
here's
here's
the
the
thing
thing
too,
too,
with
with
these
these
types
types
of
of
folks,
folks,
they
they
can
can
obviously
obviously
get
get
busy,
busy,
as
as
you
you
said,
said,
working
yeah,
from
from
just,
exactly.
easy peasy. There's a lot to do. And
And
so
so
I
I
found
found
that
that
some
some
people
people
can
can
experience
experience
like,
like,
oh,
oh,
they
they
didn't
didn't
show
show
up
up
to
to
the
the
call
call
and
and
things
things
like
like
that.
that.
So
So
confirming
confirming
it
it
can
can
help.
help.
Now,
Now,
obviously
obviously
day
day
of
of
things
things
can
can
still
still
happen.
happen.
And
And
so
so
I
I
would
would
recommend
recommend
being
being
a
a
little
little
flexible.
flexible.
And I think
I think
that
that
goes
goes
a
a
long
long
way
way
with
with
them
them
because
because
they
they
already
already
have
have
so
so
much
much
going
going
on
on
and
and
now
now
they're
they're
trying
trying
to
to
figure
figure
out
out
how
how
to
to
bring
bring
you
you
on.
on.
So
So
the
the
more
more
flexible
flexible
that
that
you
you
can
can
be,
be,
not
not
letting
letting
people
people
disrespect
disrespect
your
your
time
time
or
or
your
your
calendar,
calendar,
but
but
just
just
think
think
about
about
them
them
on
on
the
the
other
other
side.
side.
And
And
if
if
they're
they're
actively,
actively,
you
you
know,
know,
trying
trying
to
to
work
work
something
something
out
out
with
with
you,
you,
but
but
things
things
just
just
happen,
happen.
be
Be
okay
okay
with
with
it.
it.
This
This
is
is
why
why
you
you
want
want
to
to
have
have
multiple
multiple
things
things
going,
going,
because
because
if
if
you
you
just
just
got
got
one
one
opportunity,
opportunity,
I've
I've
seen
seen
this
this
happen
happen
plenty
plenty
of
of
times,
times,
one
one
opportunity,
opportunity,
and
and
then,
then,
you
you
know,
know,
the
the
person
person
missed
missed
the
the
call
call
or
or
whatever
whatever
may
may
happen,
happen,
it's
it's
like
like
a
a
drop
drop
from
from
the
the
80th
80th
floor.
floor.
That was me.
It's like a drop from the 80th floor. So
So
you
you
want to
want to
make
make
sure
sure
that
that
you're
you're
in
in
a
a
place
place
where
where
if
if
they
they
don't
don't
respond
respond
or
or
something
something
happens,
happens,
you're
you're
like,
like,
oh,
oh,
I
I
got
got
10
10
more
more
calls
calls
on
on
the
the
calendar.
calendar.
I
I
didn't
didn't
even
even
realize,
realize,
you
you
know,
know,
that
that
they
they
didn't
didn't
respond
respond
to
to
the
the
email
email
or
or
whatever
whatever
the
the
case
case
may
may
be
be
because
because
I
I
am
am
focused
focused
on
on
this.
this.
So
So
I
I
have
have
other
other
opportunities
opportunities
working.
working.
And
And
I
I
think
think
that's
that's
important,
important,
especially
especially
with
with
these
these
organizations
organizations
because
because
they
they
can
can
get
get
busy,
busy,
priorities
priorities
can
can
shift,
shift,
things
things
can
can
happen.
happen.
And
And
so
so
if
if
you
you
are
are
serious
serious
about
about
it,
it,
it
it
would
would
be
be
advantageous
advantageous
of
of
you
you
to
to
make
make
sure
sure
that
that
you're
you're
making
making
conversations
conversations
and
and
having
having
contact
contact
with
with
several
several
different
different
folks.
folks.
So
So
I
I
would
would
follow
follow
up
up
that
that
week
week
just
just
to
to
make
make
sure
sure
they're
they're
going
going
to
to
be
be
on,
on,
or
or
I
I
would
would
follow
follow
up
up
maybe
maybe
2 or 3 days
2 or 3 days
before
before
the
the
call
call
just
just
to
to
confirm.
confirm.
And
And
then
then
after
after
that,
that,
they
they
say
say
yes,
yes,
then
then
I'm
I'm
expecting
expecting
them
them
to
to
be
be
on
on
the
the
call.
call.
Cool. All right. We're ready for the follow-up, right? Is that the next step, the follow-up? All right, we're following up. We're having a conversation. What are
Yep.
we doing on that? You're saying we're looking over pricing. Like, what are we doing?
So this is what I call the proposal presentation
Presentation
call.
call.
And
And
why
why
I
I
suggest
suggest
this,
this,
I
I
talked
talked
through
through
it
it
as
as
a
a
script,
script,
but
but
why
why
I
I
suggest
suggest
this
this
the
the
most
most
is
is
because
because
you
you
want
want
to
to
eliminate
eliminate
any
any
opportunities
opportunities
to
to
ghosts.
ghosts.
And
And
you
you
want
want
to
to
eliminate
eliminate
any
any
opportunities
opportunities
for
for
them
them
to,
to,
oh,
oh,
they
they
saw
saw
your
your
email,
email,
maybe
maybe
they
they
didn't
didn't
read
read
it,
it,
maybe
maybe
they
they
just,
just,
you
you
know,
know,
kind
kind
of
of
put
put
it
it
off
off
to
to
the
the
side.
side.
If
If
you
you
want
want
to
to
close
close
opportunities
opportunities
quickly,
quickly,
especially
especially
during
during
the
the
time
time
that
that
we're
we're
recording
recording
this
this
fourth
fourth
quarter
quarter
of
of
the
the
year,
year,
they
they
have
have
money
money
to
to
spend
spend
on,
on,
you
you
know,
know,
various
various
priorities,
priorities,
and
and
they
they
need
need
to
to
do
do
it
it
before
before
December
December
31st
31st
because
because
of
of
fiscal
fiscal
year
year
and
and
budget
budget
years.
years.
And
And
so
so
right
right
now,
now,
you
you
want
want
to
to
make
make
sure
sure
that
that
your
your
processes
processes
are
are
tight
tight
so
so
that
that
you
you
can
can
get
get
this
this
money
money
before
before
the
the
year
year
is
is
out.
out.
But
But
when
when
you
you
have
have
that
that
conversation
conversation
on
on
the
the
call,
call,
that
that
eliminates
eliminates
that
that
ghosting.
ghosting.
That's
That's
what
what
I
I
was
was
saying.
saying.
And
And
so
so
when
when
you
you
get
get
on
on
this
this
call,
call,
you're
you're
going
going
to
to
want
want
to
to
go
go
ahead
ahead
and
and
pull
pull
up
up
your
your
proposal.
proposal.
And
And
so
so
whether
whether
that
that
is
is
a
a
presentation
presentation
deck,
deck,
you
you
can
can
do
do
that,
that,
or
or
you
you
can
can
just
just
talk
talk
them
them
through
through
what
what
it
it
is,
is,
just
just
like
like
you
you
and
and
I
I
are
are
talking
talking
right
right
now.
now.
Don't
Don't
stress
stress
over
over
it.
it.
Don't
Don't
make
make
it
it
too
too
complicated.
complicated.
Don't
Don't
make
make
it
it
something
something
that's
that's
not
not
you
you
and
and
what
what
you
you
would
would
typically
typically
do.
do.
Just
Just
because
because
it's
it's
a
a
corporation,
corporation,
be
be
yourself.
yourself.
And
And
so
so
you
you
want
want
to
to
cover,
cover,
hey,
hey,
on
on
our
our
last
last
conversation,
conversation,
especially
especially
if
if
it
it
was
was
a
a
month
month
ago,
ago,
here's
here's
what
what
you
you
shared
shared
with
with
me.
me.
Has
Has
anything
anything
of
of
this
this
changed
changed
since
since
we
we
talked?
talked?
I
I
think
think
that's
that's
going
going
to
to
be
be
the
the
first
first
key
key
question
question
that
that
you
you
want
want
to
to
make
make
sure
sure
that
that
you
you
ask.
ask.
Because
Because
the
the
last
last
thing
thing
you
you
want
want
to
to
do
do
is
is
get
get
to
to
talking
talking
about
about
something
something
and
and
then
then
they're
they're
like,
like,
things can shift. And so that first point of clarification is to make sure nothing has changed. From there, then you're going to say, okay, based upon our conversation, nothing has changed. Perfect. Here's what I put together. You have these 10 buildings that need, you know, grass cutting in the front and the back. You need breezeways. You know, you're just kind of going over everything that you described as that need. And so based upon that, your budget numbers that you gave me, here's what I put together. And then you outline what the cost is and what they get at a high level. So then,
sorry to cut you off. So you recommend, so that first call, like you're, if that second call is going to be that detailed, right? Mm-hmm. Then that first call, you're going into a bit more detail than I thought, right? Like this is more than just an introduction. This is like, you're asking some pretty detailed questions in this first call then to find out that they got 10 buildings who need the front and the back cut to be able to like put together a pricing conversation for the next call. Like the first call is pretty detailed, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, so they're going to tell you all this stuff. Like when you open and start talking about that need, like that's where you're going to extract all this information. Well, we have 10 buildings. Like when you ask them to share a little bit more about their landscaping, about their role, you know, whatever it is that you do, they're going to tell you all of this stuff. And so then you'll be able to learn what that scope is. So in that conversation, yes, you are determining what is the need and the scope of the work. Because again, streamlining this, we don't want these opportunities to take 10, you know, weeks and months to be able to get. Let's capture the information. And you can do this in, you know, 20, I said, ask them for 15, 20 minutes, but really the 20 minute mark and sometimes even 30 minutes, depending on how deep you want to go into it, that should be enough time to be able to capture the information. And one little tip too that I'll give, if for any reason you don't capture all the information that you need for that proposal call, have another conversation. Don't go and create a proposal if you don't have all the information that you need. Say something happens, a fire drill, they have to jump off the call. Okay, well, let's continue the conversation from where we left off so that I can capture everything I need before we move forward in the process.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, all right. So has anything changed?
Yep.
Then?
Going through the scope of what we discussed, and then you're going to go into what you've put together in terms of your pricing. And that's where I was giving the example of like, hey, you have these 10 buildings, you know, you have this, this, and that, and this is the price point that we will be looking. This should not be a shock because they've already told you, if you followed the process before, they've already told you the budget. So literally, there should be no true friction to this if you capture those three things in that initial call and nothing has changed.
Gotcha.
And so then you share the budget numbers with them and then you ask for their feedback. And so then they'll tell you, this looks great. This doesn't look great. Whatever the case may be, you'll get to see that feedback right there on the call versus you sending an email and having them review it on the phone. And I think the important piece too, if there are other people a part of this decision-making process, you want to capture that too on that initial call so that when you schedule the proposal, everyone is there who needs to make decisions. So removing any roadblocks to say, okay, well, now I have to take this to this person or I have to go and get this approval. Let's bring them all to the call. Let's, you know, figure out where we're going to go from here, because at this point now it's a yes or no and we move into the invoicing stage.
Wow. Okay. So we've gotten all the information. Like, yep, would like to work with you. More often than not, you're going to get something that says, all right, we'll think about it. At least that's what we do. Now I'm done. We got to talk about it. Our team has to meet over it. We have to, you know, do this presentation to get funding, you know, all that stuff. What do you say? And then how do you follow up on that, right? Like, this is where the annoying part comes in. I have to do X, Y, Z, right? I work for this large company and the process takes forever, right? The onboarding cycle takes forever. We have to go to different legal teams and this and that. And I'll get back to you. How do you respond to that?
So, a couple of things. In the conversation, we should already have an understanding of what the process is going to be. So, something else to think about In this conversation shouldn't be the first time that you hear that they have to take it back to anyone and, you know, all that stuff. That should be something when you're asking, you know, what the next steps or what the process would be. That's the information that you need to gather, because then you need to determine, do we even need to be having this conversation right now? Maybe if you're just looking for numbers of like what it could be, and then you got to go and get funding and all of that, we don't even need to do this call. I can just tell you what the numbers are, and then you can, you know, do whatever you got to do to figure it out, and you can get back to me later.
Okay. So
protecting the time and energy is going to be important, and the way that you don't let, just because they're the company with the checkbook, they're not running the show, at least on my side. And so I'm not doing this proposal call that I just shared with you if this is not like an opportunity that's ready to go. If this is going to take time and you just need to know what the figures are, I would much rather just tell you the figures. And then once you're ready with your funding, then we can get on and talk about it. Because here's the thing too. I might give you a price today. That doesn't mean it's going to be the price when you're ready in however long it's going to take you to do all of that.
Price on gone up.
Yeah. So it's no, and that's the nice way that you can say it. If they were like, oh, we want to get a proposal for later. Well, here's the thing. What we do, our proposals only last for, or our proposals are only valid for 30 days. And so at that point, they're subject to change and fluctuate based on market changes in our corporation, in our organization. And so what we do is we prepare those proposals when we're ready to move forward. But what I can do is give you, you know, an idea of what the pricing would be so that you can, you know, go back to whoever you need to work with. And then once you're ready, you can get that proposal that'll give you the exact pricing, and it will be a 30-day quote. So that's how I would do it, because you don't want to be giving people pricing. This is something that could put you in an uncomfortable place. Say, you know, your lawnmower business, you gave someone a quote back in, you know, January that was, I don't know, $10,000, we'll say. And then all of a sudden, fuel goes up, right?
Right. Crazy.
And so now they're coming back wanting this $10,000 quote in July. And you're like, oh, I can't, I wouldn't be able to do this. I'm going to be losing money. And so that's the way that you have to think of these conversations as well. The price may not be the same from whenever they decide to move. And so leaving in that way to say, here's how we're going to do it, is the way to go to be honorable to your business, and also make sure that they're very clear on this is how they work with you.
How do you deal with companies who are trying to be cheap? I've seen it firsthand.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to get the lowest price possible. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. I've seen that as well. How do you say this nicely?
Tell the truth now.
You don't work with them.
Okay, well, that's simple enough. We can move on. We can move on then. That was simple enough.
I mean, seriously, if it's like, hey.
But listen, though, it's so hard to turn down any money. Like, you're a small business. Right now, you're making zero. And you're telling me, well, I guess you got to keep making zero because this person's trying to come under like what you're, you know, offering.
Well, would you rather be making zero or be in the hole? Because here's the thing. If you do something for too cheap, you're now doing it for free. Like,
yeah,
so when you really
valid,
think about it, you're doing it for free.
Valid.
So I think I would much rather keep my time and be able to sell to somebody else, because abundance is all around me, than to be able to do something that I really don't want to do at a price I really don't want to do it at, and essentially put myself in the hole.
Valid.
Too many opportunities for that.
Valid point. Okay. Be willing. This is all stuff, you know, I'm learning as I go along. Like, be willing to walk away from the table if somebody's not honoring. Okay, cool.
It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard, but this is why we talked about the mindset first, because that's the thing that's going to play in your head. Oh, well, I'm not making anything, so I shouldn't, you know. But the mindset says, instead of I'm not making anything, so I should take this. Okay. They're not at my price point, so I need to make sure I protect my time to be able to speak to the next person that is.
How do you... How do you stand out as a small business? I'm thinking about social media. Everybody's on social and everybody's doing something, and seems like everybody's doing the same thing as you. Or you have a website, but there's a million websites with people doing lawn care services as well. Like, how do you stand out in a crowded environment? Because not everybody is going to have, some blue ocean to sell, right? A lot of times it's you're doing something a million other people are doing, but a consulting gig, like there's a ton of management consulting or a ton of tech bros, and network specialists and all of these things, right? What do you recommend in terms of standing out to, someone, to a corporation so that, hey, this is me, I'm different, this is why you would choose me?
So it can be the smallest thing to stand out with a corporation or with any organization that you're trying to work with, the smallest thing. And so the first thing is, I want to address what you said about, oh, there's a lot of people. From our perspective as a business owner, it's kind of like the thing with the cars, right? You say you want a car, and then all of a sudden you see all the cars because you're focused on it. We're in it. So it seems like there are so many people all doing the same thing. But
True,
when you
true.
to these organizations, some people don't know anything about coaching, they don't know anything about consultant management consulting, but like consulting in things like social media or digital AI, for example. People don't know that there are consultants or people that they can work with freelance to do these things. And so it's a lot less common than we think once we get out of the box, out of our box. So that's the first thing. And then the part about differentiating is knowing who you are and what you bring to whatever, even landscaping, right? There is some unique way. Maybe you have a certain product that you use. Maybe you're someone who's into chemistry and you use these special products that make the grass look good. I don't know. Whatever it is, you have a certain way of doing something that is more efficient. Do you know how to cut grass, two times faster than the other people because you've got a pattern that you use that allows you to cut quicker? Something as simple as that could be your differentiator and could be, you may not talk about your pattern of how you cut grass, but you say, hey, our methods or the way that we go after, the way that we approach doing this work is we're able to get your grass cut in, 2 hours, where the other people take all day. I don't know what it is, whatever it is. By the time you get into work, your grass is going to be cut for the day. You don't have to worry about being on calls and hearing me outside mowing the lawn. So things like that could be like just that. Oh, you know what? I never thought about that. Everybody else isn't talking about one key thing that is, something that's natural to you, but a huge benefit to the client. So just think about from their perspective. Like I said, I work from home and I hear people mowing the lawn all day long while I'm talking on calls. And so that's the most annoying thing. So just think about it from the perspective of those clients. What is something that most people do that is just super annoying that you could literally find a solution to? That's how I think every innovation was found. It wasn't that it had to be like this whole innovative thing that no one has ever done. They took things that people are already doing and just figured out what's that one edge that
Removing the
everyone's
pain point.
thinking about that's going to make a difference for the people that are utilizing the service.
Cool. So a lot of big companies want to sign want you to sign non-competes, right?
Who said
Would
that?
you sign a non-compete?
Who said that? I've never signed a non-compete.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Then I've heard of it. Actually, my wife, who's an entrepreneur herself, people want her to, like, well, you can't, not you got to sign a non-compete. You can't go with somebody who's doing something similar type of thing in her space.
Yeah, so I think it depends on the space for sure, but you mentioned this early on, and I wanted to circle back this too about having the attorney. And so it is key to have a relationship. And I don't mean you have to have an attorney on retainer or anything like that. There are so many ways that attorneys, especially ones that know small businesses, have created ways for you to get contract reviews or support in these things.
A word? You got any recommendations? I love that.
Yes, I have a few. I have three lawyers that I have used as a part of this process.
That's what's up. We'll
Yeah.
put it in the show notes and everything. Shoot.
Yes. So reach out to them. They are wonderful ladies that are well versed in this corporate contract space, but just online or small business in general. And having them, those attorneys, those specialists, to be able to know, like, hey, here's this contract. Like, these are some things. Like, I remember my attorney, she said, don't give them lifetime access to anything. Like, no. So a part of protecting your intellectual property, because they'll try it, right? They'll say
For
not,
sure, I've seen
or
it.
we'll get, access to this in perpetuity and all of that. That again is not advantageous to you as a business owner. If they get access to your information forever, you could have been licensing that information and getting, multiple years of revenue based on that. And even down to, we talking about the landscape stuff, but just making sure that the contract is not shooting yourself in the foot. And so having that review with an attorney is going to be key. Don't sign anything until you get a review. You can pay, $200 or $500 to get an attorney to be able to look at that contract for you, and you add it as a cost of doing business.
Oh, is that cheap?
Yes.
Well, damn. See
Yes.
the things you don't know will hurt you, man. Look at that. I thought things like attorneys be expensive. I'm thinking like $2,000 or something. I don't know.
I mean, that could be a possibility, but I'm telling you, there's another side too, where again, there are attorneys, that have gone through the bar and all the things that understand this side of business, and they want to be able to work to help small business owners at least get their contracts reviewed and be set up for success. And so, and even there are some pro bono opportunities, like get with your local business or economic development departments or organizations in your city. There could be opportunities to even get pro bono legal services, whatever way you do it. You just need to make sure that you're covered, because those things can be snuck in. And then again, to our other point, be willing to walk away. If it doesn't make sense, we can't do it. Because if it's non-compete, right, you're going to have to pay me a hefty price, because that means I'm not able to work with others to grow my business. So then I have to weigh the cost. Is this really worth me giving up the opportunity to work in other areas? Mm-mm. So
So
either the
either
price
the
needs to
price
be
needs to be
higher, or I
higher,
just
but you
can't
can't.
do it.
Right. Okay, cool. Let's go move forward then. So we got the nod. Yes, we're willing to work with you. You know, we're gonna go through the next steps, but organization is gonna have whatever they need to do, right?
Yep.
On our end, right, the small business end. Once we get the okay, what are we doing to set ourselves up to ensure success and then all that stuff?
So you want
Want
to
to
ask,
ask,
what
what
is
is
their
their
process
process
for
for
working
working
with
with
vendors
vendors
so
so
that
that
you
you
can
can
understand
understand
what
what
you
you
need
need
to
to
prepare?
prepare?
So
So
some
some
things
things
that
that
are
are
common,
common,
you
you
would
would
need
need
to
to
have,
have,
like
like
your
your
W-9,
W-9,
which
which
is
is
a
a
tax
tax
form,
form,
to
to
be
be
able
able
to
to
send
send
to
to
them
them
so
so
they
they
can,
can,
be
be
compliant
compliant
with
with
the
the
IRS,
IRS,
because
because
nobody
nobody
wants
wants
no
no
issues
issues
there.
there.
So things like
Yes.
that you have to
Yes.
submit. You
You talked
talked about
about
getting
getting
on
on
the
the
vendor's
vendor's
portal
portal
so
so
that
that
they
they
can
can
pay
pay
you.
you.
And
And
so
so
they'll
they'll
be
be
able
able
to
to
walk
walk
you
you
through
through
those
those
steps
steps
to
to
be
be
able
able
to
to
make
make
sure
sure
you're
you're
approved
approved
to
to
get
get
paid.
paid.
And
And
then
then
also,
also,
one
one
key
key
thing
thing
is
is
your
your
insurance
insurance
policy.
policy.
So
So
as
as
a
a
small
small
business
business
anyway,
anyway,
most
most
people
people
do
do
have
have
some
some
type
type
of
of
insurance,
insurance,
but
but
if
if
you
you
don't,
don't,
this
this
is
is
the
the
time
time
where
where
you
you
need
need
to
to
make
make
sure
sure
you
you
have
have
those
those
policies
policies
in
in
place.
place.
And
And
you
you
also
also
want
want
to
to
make
make
sure
sure
if
if
there
there
are
are
any
any
stipulations
stipulations
around
around
how
how
much
much
the
the
liability
liability
must
must
be,
be,
or
or
if
if
they
they
need
need
to
to
be
be
the
the
additional
additional
insured
insured
on
on
your
your
policies
policies
so
so
that
that
you
you
can
can
be
be
compliant.
compliant.
Because
Because
again,
again,
you're
you're
signing
signing
the
the
contract.
contract.
This
This
is
is
all
all
great,
great,
the money,
the money,
but
but
this
this
is
is
a
a
contractual
contractual
agreement.
agreement.
And
And
so
so
anything
anything
that
that
you
you
sign
sign
that's
that's
in
in
that
that
contract
contract
and
and
insurance
insurance
policies
policies
are
are
usually
usually
mentioned,
mentioned,
you
you
want
want
to
to
make
make
sure
sure
that
that
you're
you're
covered,
covered,
because
because
you
you
don't
don't
want
want
any
any
issues
issues
in
in
terms
terms
of
of
your
your
delivery.
delivery.
And,
And,
if
if
something
something
needs
needs
to
to
get
get
addressed,
addressed,
you
you
want
want
to
to
make
make
sure
sure
that
that
the
the
contract
contract
is
is
very
very
tight
tight
and
and
everything
everything
that's
that's
referenced
referenced
in
in
there
there
is
is
good
good
on
on
your
your
end
end
and
and
good
good
on
on
their
their
end.
end.
Okay, cool. So,
So,
and
and
then
then
you're
you're
ready
ready
to
to
deliver.
deliver.
So
So
once
once
they've
they've
given
given
you
you
their
their
contract,
contract,
or
or
maybe
maybe
you
you
have
have
an
an
attorney
attorney
draft
draft
you
you
up
up
a
a
contract,
contract,
that
that
could
could
also
also
be
be
a
a
possibility
possibility
as
as
well.
well.
Both
Both
sides
sides
are
are
going
going
to
to
review
review
it,
it,
sign
sign
your
your
in
in
tandem
tandem
doing
doing
that
that
vendor
vendor
process,
process,
getting
getting
all
all
your
your
documents
documents
uploaded,
uploaded,
making
making
sure
sure
your
your
insurance
insurance
policies
policies
are
are
good,
good,
and
and
then
then
you
you
should
should
be
be
off
off
to
to
starting
starting
the
the
engagement.
engagement.
And
And
now
now
in
in
some
some
cases,
cases,
with some of these organizations, you might be getting paid net 30 is what they call it. That doesn't mean that's always going to be the case. I've seen, you know, different ways that people have paid, especially during this time. If they have budget money to spend, they might be willing to pay you earlier to do work, you know, next year. And so the net 30 just basically means they have 30 days from the time you send them the invoice to pay it. And so keep this all in mind. This is why it's not just about getting a contract here and there, but really running this side of your business. Because then, you know, okay, I'm working other opportunities.
Right.
This, like, come in at this time. And you really start to be strategic about it. But the net 30 is an industry standard. And then you have to also be on sending your invoices. So they're not just going to pay you. You actually have to prepare a professional invoice. So whether you use, you know, Stripe to create one or whatever system that you use for payments, you need to be able to create an invoice. And in the way that they, you know, if they have any special things, you have to put a memo here, whatever it is, to send that over so that you can get paid on time. And track your payment. Because sometimes that net 30 might be looking a little net 45.
I've seen it.
Hold on. We've already waited 30 days. So we need to make sure that this arrives on time.
Wow. So we went from meeting someone, introducing ourselves, cold calling, cold emailing, to getting paid.
Yes.
That's amazing. You know, when you talk through it, it sounds good. In practice, it's a challenge. I'm not going to lie. So I don't want to fool my audience and make this sound easy. It's a challenge. But having a process in place like you talked about, and having the help of someone with your expertise, I think will help. Could have certainly helped somebody like me, but can help my audience, you know, succeed with more of a hit rate as opposed to trying to go, you know, go at it alone. So I appreciate you walking through that that case with me.
Right.
Let's jump ahead real quick, because we've gone over an hour and I don't want to keep you here for 2 hours. but leadership training.
Yeah.
Right. I do want to touch on that because you have experience and expertise there, motivation. I try to, whenever I can, you know, again, it's a sports podcast, but try to be, you know, leave some motivational, inspirational words to my audience. But I don't want to be the only voice heard on that kind of topic. So when we talked, right, you talked about resilience. You brought it up today as well, you know, resilience and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that, and you know, how you overcame all of that to get to where you are today, and what you do in that space in terms of coaching.
Yes, absolutely. So I have experienced, you know, throughout my life, I talked about the challenges, you know, giving birth during that time and just, you know, having to push through this vision, you know, having the success on the outside of the career and just feeling empty inside. I remember so many moments where I'm just like, y'all really like this stuff. And I'm just over here like, what are we doing? Like, y'all really like this stuff. And so... So
you were like imposter syndrome, you mean? Like you weren't...
No, it was like, I couldn't believe that people were so dedicated. And I was just like...
Oh, you mean like your job?
Yeah, like work. It was
Oh,
just...
Yeah. I've been there.
How are you all so dedicated and so passionate about this? And it just, to me, I'm just feeling like, no. Like,
can I tell you a quick story, man? I tell people this when my first company I worked for out of college. This guy, man, he was like a senior level guy, and he had just had twins, went on paternity leave. I was working for a consulting firm, and we were traveling like Monday through Thursday or whatever. So I think we were in like Indianapolis or somewhere like that. And so this guy goes on paternity leave, and he comes back, and he's like, "Oh my God, I missed you guys so much." And I'm like, "What the hell are you talking about, bro? Go home to your freaking wife and kids. What is going on?"
What?
These people, some people really love this stuff. I'm like, listen, man, I do this for the paycheck. I can't even front with you. Like
am I crazy?
This man said, "I really missed you guys. I missed your..." I'm like, Get the hell out of here, man. You tripping.
Yes. So I would definitely feel like that. I mean, there were points where I loved, what I do, and I don't knock, I know there are people out here that entrepreneurship is not for them, but even just if you're in a 9-to-5 that you're not passionate about, you probably feel the same way and need to make a pivot or shift into where you do feel like, okay, this is where I should be spending, a good time of my life, because if it's not that, then it just starts to not make sense. And so, yeah, I remember feeling those moments, but just not having the giving myself the permission to move and do it. And so a part of my method that I was able to develop is me just looking on all of the moments of my life where I challenged the status quo, even if it took me some time. I think when I was younger, like when I went to college, for example, I went to North Carolina A&T, so shout out to any Aggies listening.
Auntie.
But
But
I'm from
from
Virginia, and
Virginia,
so I
so
was
I was
going out of
going out of
state.
state.
I didn't
I
have a
didn't have a
college
college
fund. I
fund. I
didn't
didn't have,
have, all the
all the
opportunities in the
opportunities
world to
in the
just
world
go
to
to
just go to
college and
college
not
and
have
not
to
have to
worry about
worry about
anything.
anything.
It was
It was
probably
probably
at
at
that
that
time
time
for
for
most
most
people
people
would
would
have
have
been
been
like,
like,
you
you
should
should
just
just
stay
stay
here
here
and
and
go
go
to
to
college
college
where
where
you
you
can
can
save
save
money.
money.
But
But
when
when
I
I
stepped
stepped
foot
foot
and
and
learned
learned
about
about
A&T,
A&T,
I
I
was
was
activated.
activated.
I
I
was
was
like,
like,
oh,
oh,
this
this
is
is
where
where
I'm
I'm
going.
going.
Like,
Like,
there's
there's
no
no
other
other
options,
options,
no
no
other
other
schools.
schools.
I
I
applied
applied
to
to
other
other
schools
schools
just
just
so
so
I
I
could,
could,
you
you
know.
know. Why not FAMU?
I didn't even know anything about FAMU, quite
Oh, don't say that.
honestly.
Well, don't be like that. Come on, man.
I didn't. I'm sorry, I
I
didn't.
didn't. I
So I knew I was going there. And
again,
again, all eyes
all
were
eyes were
against
against
me,
me,
but
but
I
I
was
was
going
going
to
to figure
figure it
it
out.
out.
And
And
so
so
back
back
then,
then,
like
like
I
I
said,
said,
I
I
didn't
didn't
have
have
a
a
husband.
husband.
I
I
didn't
didn't
have
have
children.
children.
So
So
it
it
was
was
easy
easy
for
for
me
me
to
to
like
like
take
take
those
those
risks
risks
and
and
just
just
figure
figure
it
it
out.
out.
Well,
Well,
I'm
I'm
just
just
going
going
to
to
get
get
the
the
student
student
loans.
loans.
I'm
I'm
going
going
to
to
call
call
the
the
financial
financial
office
office
every
every
single
single
day.
day.
I'm
I'm
going
going
to
to
see
see
what
what
they
they
can
can
do
do
because
because
I'm
I'm
going
going
to
to
get
get
there.
there.
And
And
so
so
I
I
have
have
friends
friends
who
who
had
had
to
to
stay
stay
home,
home,
but
but
I
I
was
was
the
the
person
person
like,
like,
no.
no.
And so
Wow.
making
Making
those
those
types
types
of
of
decisions,
decisions,
I
I
started
started
to
to
see
see
I
I
had
had
those
those
moments
moments
all
all
along.
along.
Like
Like
even
even
when
when
I
I
got
got
my
my
first
first
car,
car,
same
same
story.
story.
I
I
didn't
didn't
have
have
a
a
car
car
that
that
my
my
parents
parents
was
was
able
able
to
to
buy
buy
me
me
or
or
anything
anything
like
like
that.
that.
I
I
had
had
to
to
do
do
that
that
on
on
my
my
own.
own.
And
And
so
so
what
what
I
I
did,
did,
I
I
remember
remember
telling
telling
my
my
mom,
mom,
I
I
was
was
like,
like,
this
this
week
week
I
I
came
came
home
home
from
from
college.
college.
I
I
was
was
like,
like,
this
this
week
week
I'm
I'm
getting
getting
a
a
car.
car.
I
I
didn't
didn't
know
know
how
how
I
I
was
was
gonna
gonna
do
do
it.
it.
Got
Got
me
me
a
a
little
little
job,
job,
had
had
the
the
car
car
by
by
the
the
end
end
of
of
the
the
week.
week.
Was
Was
able
able
to
to
put
put
a
a
down
down
payment,
payment,
had
had
the
the
car.
car.
And
And
so
so
I
I
just
just
started
started
seeing
seeing
like,
like,
what
what
is
is
this
this
thing
thing
about
about
when
when
I
I
make
make
a
a
decision
decision
on
on
something?
something?
No
No
matter
matter
what
what
the
the
odds
odds
are,
are,
I'm
I'm
going
going
to
to
figure
figure
it
it
out.
out.
And
And
so
so
the
the
same
same
thing
thing
happened
happened
with
with
the
the
job.
job.
It
It
was
was
like,
like,
you
you
know
know
what?
what?
It's
It's
just
just
like
like
that.
that.
Wake
Wake
up
up
one
one
day.
day.
Why
Why
am
am
I
I
doing
doing
this?
this?
Like,
Like,
no,
no,
this
this
is,
is,
I
I
have
have
too
too
many
many
talents.
talents.
I
I
have
have
too
too
many
many
things
things
that
that
I
I
could
could
be
be
doing.
doing.
I
I
have
have
a
a
passion
passion
for
for
something
something
else.
else.
And
And
so
so
now
now
it's
it's
time
time
to
to
jump
jump
and
and
take
take
steps
steps
towards
towards
that.
that.
And
And
so
so
when
when
I
I
finally
finally
sat
sat
down
down
through
through
a
a
coaching
coaching
program,
program,
I
I
did
did
to
to
really
really
think
think
about
about
over
over
my
my
life,
life,
what
what
is
is
like
like
this
this
framework
framework
or
or
theme
theme
that
that
I
I
followed.
followed.
I
I
came
came
up
up
with
with
the
the
3D
3D
method.
method.
And
And
essentially,
essentially,
that
that
is
is
my
my
methodology
methodology
for
for
achieving
achieving
all
all
impossible
impossible
goals
goals
to
to
get
get
you
you
to
to
success
success
defined
defined
on
on
your
your
own
own
terms.
terms.
And
And
if
if
you,
you,
once
once
you
you
go
go
back
back
through
through
this
this
episode,
episode,
you'll
you'll
see
see
kind
kind
of
of
how
how
I
I
talked
talked
about
about
it.
it.
But
But
the
the
3Ds
3Ds
stand
stand
for
for
declare,
declare,
discover,
discover,
and
and
do.
do.
And
And
so
so
the
the
declaration
declaration
is
is
the
the
most
most
important
important
part,
part,
even
even
in
in
corporate
corporate
contracts,
contracts,
because
because
you
you
have
have
to
to
decide
decide
this
this
is
is
what
what
I'm
I'm
going
going
to
to
do.
do.
No
No
matter
matter
what
what
the
the
roadblocks
roadblocks
are
are
ahead,
ahead,
if
if
you're
you're
serious
serious
about,
about,
I
I
know
know
there's
there's
opportunity
opportunity
for
for
me
me
here.
here.
I
I
want to
want to
create
create
a
a
foundation
foundation
in
in
my
my
business.
business.
And
And
I
I
know
know
I
I
have
have
value
value
to
to
add
add
to
to
these
these
organizations,
organizations,
then
then
I'm
I'm
going
going
to
to
do
do
it.
it.
That's it.
That's
That's
the
the
declaration.
declaration. And
And
then
then
discover
discover
is
is
figuring
figuring
out
out
what
what
are
are
these
these
pieces
pieces
that
that
you
you
need
need
to
to
have
have
in
in
place.
place.
And
And
so
so
you
you
need
need
people,
people,
you
you
need
need
some
some
type
type
of
of
resources
resources
to
to
be
be
able
able
to
to
go
go
further
further
than
than
just
just
trying
trying
to
to
rely
rely
on
on
your
your
own.
own.
I've
I've
had
had
several
several
mentors,
mentors,
coaches.
coaches.
Even
Even
back
back
to
to
the
the
whole
whole
college
college
thing,
thing,
I
I
remember
remember
my
my
guidance
guidance
counselor.
counselor.
He
He
was
was
my
my
coach
coach
to
to
help
help
me
me
get,
get,
to
to
the
the
university.
university.
So
So
you
you
have
have
to
to
have
have
people
people
in
in
place.
place.
And
And
I
I
think
think
that
that
makes
makes
the
the
road
road
a
a
lot
lot
easier.
easier.
You
You
asked
asked
about
about
like
like
how
how
do
do
you
you
get
get
through
through
all
all
that?
that?
You
You
get
get
through
through
it
it
by
by
getting
getting
people
people
to
to
fill
fill
in
in
the
the
holes
holes
that
that
you
you
have
have
so
so
that
that
you
you
can
can
have
have
a
a
clear
clear
path
path
towards
towards
those
those
goals.
goals.
So
So
doing
doing
it
it
alone,
alone,
it
that's
can, you
something
know.
I'm learning, and I'm glad you brought that up because Like my first go around as an entrepreneur, I tried to do everything alone, and I've since learned, right, that you gotta have people around you to do this stuff, man. Like you and I don't know if you've read this book, Who Not How. I've talked about it on the podcast before, and I'll keep talking about it. But it talks about the fact that, like, if you're truly gonna experience exponential growth in life and business, whatever, like, you're not gonna do it alone. You gotta have people play different roles. And it's so unfortunate that most of us don't know that. And really, we weren't taught that. In school, you're trying to be the best. In corporate, you're trying to be the best because you got to get the raise over this person. You're competing against each other. And then you realize, oh, if I'm really going to succeed in life, like I need to partner with the right people, like to help me out here, or else I'm not going to make it. So that's a good point you bring up.
Yes, I mean, it is paramount. And I used to be one of those people too, of just like, oh, well, maybe I can just figure this out even on my entrepreneurship journey. And I would tell you, I know for a fact I wouldn't be this far, and I'm by no means where I want to be, at the end of all this. But even just looking at where I am today, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have people who just made that slight little tweak, who told me, hey, did you consider this? Hey, here's a blind spot that you didn't see. Here's an opportunity that you didn't see, or here's how you can do this a little differently. And that's how I've been able to, in my own experience, fast track my success. Like you said, how many businesses last longer than 3 years? How many? 10 years, 15 years. People have that, the way they're able to sustain that is because they have partnerships, they have advisors, they have people who are there to fill in the gaps that they lack. I know I'm good at talking and selling and marketing, but I'm good at doing websites and all this other stuff behind me. So if I'm committed to feeling like I'm the only person, then it's going to take me way longer to be successful than if I just focus on this, talking to you while somebody else is building websites so
Absolutely.
that the whole engine can run.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the discover piece, figuring out like what those pieces need to be in place for you. And then once you get there, it's time to do. And so you've already declared this is what's going to happen for you, but now you got to take the actions behind it. I said I wanted the car. Well, it won't just gonna fall in my lap. So I had to figure out what kind of car, and take the steps to get the money. I had to go to the dealership and pick it out. And so even with the corporate contract space, the do is now, okay, I've gotten this, even this conversation that we're having, I've gotten all this information. Now I need to take action on it. What's the first thing that I can do to get started? Well, he told me to get on LinkedIn. I can at least get on there and start figuring out what people I can talk to and have that first conversation. From there, the answers will continue to unfold for you, even if you don't know the whole road right now. Go up one step, the next step will appear, and then before you know it, you'll be in that space that you declared.
That's amazing. So here's a question, right? I've experienced this, and being around my wife who's an entrepreneur, I've watched it. Resiliency and overcoming, self-doubt and overcoming, being told no and having these downtimes and lulls and as part of being an entrepreneur, that stuff is discouraging. Like, what are your recommendations on that? Like, how do you speak to that?
Yeah. And so, you know what? When you said that, I remembered something that he's not my mentor, but he's someone that I look up to. His name is John Hope Brown. I know you're here in Atlanta. So, if you've ever heard of Operation Hope, he is the CEO of that, and he does like all these amazing things. And so, what he told me when I was able to ask the question in a session, he was like, I eat no's for breakfast. Like, a no is like, I don't even get by. Like, you got to get to a place where you're just unbothered by no, because like you said, as an entrepreneur, you got to have some thick skin in this game. And so, if one no takes you out, that's again, you're the head of this organization. So, that takes everything down. So, the more you can get out there and get comfortable with no, the closer you can get to your yes. Right. So say, yeah, you might have sent out 100 emails. Maybe you got 97 no's, but those three yeses could be five-figure contracts. So then it's like, oh, who cares about the no now because I've gotten this. And so that's one thing. But I will also say, too, More on a practical sense, because it takes time to get to that space. But one of the first things that you want to do is get in community. Don't be by yourself. And I'm saying this as a person who identifies as an introvert, and I'm really like, you know,
sure.
No friends.
I am anti-community.
And it's like, no new friends. These are my people. But community is everything, because, and I didn't recognize the power of it, when you lose, there's people doing the exact same thing that can be like, okay, here's how you can course correct this. Like, you're not just sitting by yourself. Oh, they didn't respond. Like, oh my gosh, this isn't going to work and all the things. You have a space to be like, hey, y'all, here's what happened. And then you have people that's like, this happened to me too. Here's what I did. And now you're recovering faster. And then same thing on the other side with community. As they're winning, you're now inspired to win. It's like,
right.
The psychological thing that happens when you're in the space of people doing the same thing that you are is way more powerful than you trying to get your own self to be strong and just push through it. When you have community, you get to shorten that time frame of bouncing back. So that's one thing. And then just taking time to do your own personal development, reading. You talked about some books. There is one called A Happy Pocket Full of Money that my current mentor has us reading right now. And books like that are just...
Is that on Audible?
Yep, it's on Audible.
I'm going to check that out. What do you say it's called?
A Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to get that one.
Yes. And those things are meant to, like, rewire our way of thinking. Because like you said, we were not taught to be entrepreneurs, quite honestly.
No.
We're taught to be from school...
Robots.
Right. Worker bees, you know, come in, do the job. This is what they tell you to do when you go home.
For sure.
Being an entrepreneur is a different way. So you have to be able to expand your mind by being in those communities, you know, investing to be in different spaces, and also the reading element, so that you can keep your mind right and understand, yeah, everyone else around me, they might be talking one thing, but I can't feed into that, because then I'm going off of my track of where I need to go. So I need to make sure I'm plugged in to the spaces that are fueling me and where I want to go, instead of taking my mind in a place that's taking me off track.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. All right. Declare, discover, do. That's, I like that. I like that. Listen, this was amazing. I'm motivated. I'm not going to lie. Like, I talk about wanting to get back in the entrepreneurial game, and I really, really do. But sometimes self-doubt creeps in.
Yes.
Imposter syndrome, like, can I really do this? You know, am I going to, you know, all that stuff, right? So it's good to hear this. It's good to hear practical steps you can take to, you know, to land corporate contracts. And these steps can be taken, like you said, even if you're not looking for corporate contracts, you can follow these steps just in life in general, really.
Right. And I'll say this too, to what you said about that imposter syndrome. One of my mentors always says, like, ask yourself better questions. And so you could say, yeah, can I really do this? You know, all of the things. And one quote, I don't know who said it, says, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right.
Yes. Yes. I've heard that one.
It's a declaration and it's a choice. It's never, I used to think that you could, like, fix yourself. Like, oh, I'm never going to think like this again. Or, you know, how do I get myself out of this thought pattern? It's not. There is no fix. It's all decisions every day. Yes, I am going to do this. Yes, I do have this possibility. And like you said, it's not just in corporate contracts or even in entrepreneurship. Maybe you're going after promotion. Maybe you're going to look to go in a totally different field that's more in line with who you are now. It's one thing I can tell you, the job that I just left, when I graduated college, that was my dream company. Like, I knew that I was going to be there at that time. I was like, yes. And I didn't get the job when I first got out of college. I went to a different company and then circled back 4 years later. Now I was working at that company. Then 3 years later, walked away. And so... even just thinking about, like, your desires for now don't mean they're your desires forever. And it's okay to decide, hey, it's time for me to make a shift, and declare that and move forward. And even as your mind starts playing these games, You got to start asking
yourself
a better question or making a better declaration. Nope, this is where I'm going. Yep, that could happen, but this can also happen too. And this is what I'm going to choose to focus on versus whatever mind trash is trying to play in my head. And I can say that verbatim because I've had, you know, all the stories of what if, why not. And then, like I said, just to recognize there is no fix. It's only decision. And every day you have the decision to decide, you know, what your life is going to look like. And it can either be the same as yesterday or it can be different. What you want to.
I always look at people, you know, who are successful, right? And I always wonder, like, have they overcome those doubts? And it's, what you're saying is 100% right. You don't fix yourself. You don't overcome those doubts. You just make the decision each day to not feed those doubts.
Yes. And I don't know every successful person, but I know quite a few. And I have even seen them, like, you know, work through this of like, hey, I have, you know, doubts too. I
wow, just man.
To let them drive me. One of my mentors, Patrice Washington, she says, you know, it's not that fear doesn't come up for me. I just put her in the back seat and say, yeah, girl, we're going anyway, though. Like, so that's really what it is. It's not, you're still there, but like,
that's a word right there.
So, yeah, that really sticks with me, too, of like, okay. So to hopefully free people from feeling like, oh, well, I'm not there because I still have this fear. We all have the fear. It's literally just a decision to keep moving forward. So hopefully that shows you you're not far off because you don't have to go on this journey of getting rid of fear. That's a long journey. Nobody even has time to do all that. The better journey is to say, how can I be more in alignment with what I decide to do and just make that decision one day at a time?
That's powerful. That's powerful. I needed to hear that. I probably need to replay this every day. Like, it's not seriously. Like, no matter how much I talk to myself and I'm like, it creeps in like, yeah, do you really want to, are you really going to, and it's like, no. So I need some motivational speaking in my life. So I'll just replay that.
Yeah.
Every day when I wake up. This was an amazing episode. I hope my audience gets out of this what I've gotten. I always tell people, like, when I record and I listen to other people, like, I want my audience to get something, but I know I've talked to people that I know I'm going to get something out of. And this was amazing. I appreciate you taking an hour and a half to talk with me of your time. And I know your time is very important. I really appreciate it. Where can people find you, though? Online, socials, whatever.
Yes. So you can find me on all platforms, Facebook, Kirsten J. Allen, LinkedIn, same. You can find me over on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the platforms, same name, Kirsten J. Allen. And so check me out there. I would love to hear, you know, if you did check out this episode and got any takeaways, shoot me a DM because like Mike, I also hope that you all got value in this. And I love to hear when people say, you know, that one thing that you said, I took a step or, you know, that really inspired me. So I would love to hear you all's experience from this episode. And that's where we can connect.
Yeah, no, you guys got to hit her up. If you're trying to make $1 million, if you're trying to be a millionaire, seriously, if you're trying to go into business and wondering, you know, how am I going to get my next contract or my first contract, highly recommended. This was powerful, real life tactics that you can take to actually, you know, succeed in this entrepreneur game. Kirsten, I appreciate you. And hopefully you'll be back on the podcast. This was great.
Yes.
Thank you.
This was dope. I enjoyed this conversation. So I would definitely love to come back and do a part two and go into whatever it is next that I'm doing and can share. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, appreciate you guys listening in. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, comment, provide your feedback. But I'm going to catch you guys next time. Mike Philbin with Kirsten Allen. Sports in the Real shit. Peace. I'm going straight to the top, just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.